We've got a great show planned. One of the things that we don't have discussion of, what's happening this weekend. Apparently neither the press, Make a Scene, or any other publication expressing what's happening in the valley is happening. So we're going to move right on into our show. This evening we have, Lunafest Equinox, of course. We have Marianne Cockle here, who is sending me notes. Maybe I'll ask her to tell us about both these things.
We have a couple of events this weekend that I know about. One is Lunafest, happening at the Matsu College in the new Glenn Massey Theater. Oh. It's happening Friday night in the evening, so I suppose it starts about 7. And it's a film festival focusing on women and women's issues. Always a great show, and it benefits My House.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we all love to support. And then on Saturday is the Equinox Film Festival, which happens pretty much all afternoon, and also at the Glenn Massey over at the Matsu College. And that is short films made by Alaskan women.
Perfect.
And they had hundreds of submissions. It was an overwhelming success getting the word out and having people submit their short films, and the ones that were selected will be shown. So yeah, go online and find out more info. You could get your tickets in advance.
Well, two great things happening there, and especially with the women's film work, which is exceedingly important, and hopefully we're getting the message out now. Also, the one of the great things that's happened in the valley is this new theater, and
which I have not seen yet. I understand it's beautiful.
Nor have I, but I understand it's beautiful too. So we're both going on hearsay, but we like it.
Yes. Yeah.
So our first segment, as you know, we typically, as of last week's first show, interview an artist about their art. And this week, we're going to interview, well, we're actually going to have a discussion between myself and Marianne about the art of radio.
Talking at me, I don't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind.
Never heard treadmills.
Staring, I can't see the faces, only the shadows. Going where the weather suits my clothes, banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on a summer breeze, skipping over the ocean like stone. Northeast wind, sailing on a summer breeze, skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave my love behind. I won't let you leave my love behind.
We're back, and I'm here with Marianne Cockle, who's going to keep me in line. She often does. And our discussion is going to be on radio as art, specifically radio. And the song was important because, of course, you know, when you're in the radio booth, you have two things that are going on. One, you're projecting and you're dreaming. And then the other thing that's happening is whatever's going on in the rest of the world, you can't hear. You have no idea.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
So, Marianne has lots of opinions about
everything.
So, we're going to have her, start by asking the first question of me.
Why are you, or how?
Or
I want to know the why. I want to know the why. Why are you in radio?
Well, I should go back to the day it started, and that was April 7th of 1967. That's probably even before your birth.
Last century.
Yes, it was the last century.
I was around.
And things were different then. You know, we had tubes.
Vacuum tubes.
Big vacuum tubes, gigantic vacuum tubes. The transmitter tube and the little station I started at was 2.5 feet tall and maybe 8 inches round. And if you ever listen to Warren Zevon's Carmelita, and he talks about the tubes glowing, this tube really glowed.
And what was the purpose of these tubes?
It was a amplification of and development of the transmitted signal. So this was a 5,000-watt tube that
because I hear of vacuum tubes, so I never really knew what they did.
Well, they did the same thing that we now have transistors and diodes, and all those things used to be tubes and
gotcha.
Amplification.
And system. I actually understand what you're saying.
Good.
All right.
So on this day, I ended up in radio because I had left my computer science class to celebrate my birthday with a fellow named Jan Grom Zaberski. And we went over the dorms. This was at Pomona College. And he got exceedingly drunk and couldn't go back to the radio station to do his program.
Oops.
So I said, oops, I'll go do it. And which is even more propitious. This was my 16th birthday.
And it was your birthday, and he was the one that was...
So, well, he was partying for
all
me.
Right. All
yeah.
right.
Well, I was imbibing too, but it wasn't legal. So we had a great time, and I began a sort of a format of radio that became exceedingly popular. I didn't get credit for it. Credit was given to... the radio station KMPX in San Francisco, if you read the book Radio, who developed exactly the same format, but 2 hours before I did. And
it's who runs to the patent office first. Sorry.
Well, sort of, it gets recognition. I was just a little college radio station, and that was the big station in San Francisco, FM station, I should say, which in the... mid-60s meant a whole different thing.
Yes, yes.
In those days,
yes.
We didn't really have FM radio. It was still amplitude-modulated radio. And the format, which exists today, much with our public radio stations of little talk or lots of talk, mm-hmm. was that FM underground format. And what was also important is it was a resurgence. It's actually going back to the initial days of radio, which was an extension of vaudeville and part of where radio got its art.
So this is the format that you did for your program?
My program, exactly, which went on for a few years. I eventually ended up at the big FM station in Pasadena. Of course, I was still only 17, which was kind of neat. being a disc jockey at 17.
Cool. It's
kind of important. But back to radio is art. And which it isn't always. I mean, it's like anything else. It can be journalistic. It can be all kinds of things. Or it can be art. It can be a way of communication, anthropomorphic art of taking and projecting your ideas out into the void. Of course, you never know if anyone's listening, which is always...
Well, it's just like visual art. You don't know if anybody's looking at it. So.
Exactly. So, yeah. So tell me some of your thoughts on this subject, since this is a discussion, not an interview.
Oh, all right. Well, I was interested in this topic that you brought up about radio, and because my favorite radio is the artistic radio. The journalism is, of course, interesting and I think essential to get the word out, but artistic radio, and I always think of the old mystery shows and the old dramas that used to be on the radio, and you had no visual cues, you had just your own imagination when you were listening to these programs. And there are some stations, and I think this one did for a while, right? The Mystery Radio Hour. Still do. Yeah, so we can tune into that.
That's Mike the engineer.
That's Mike the engineer telling us that, yes, we still do.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just a brief, we have Kyle Johnson here, local musician who will entertain us after our little discussion of art with his art.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So,
that's when I really got interested in the form of radio. When it was just news or just music, that wasn't too interesting to me. But then when I found out about old-time radio.
Well, you know, in the old days, all radio was live.
You were going to say, in the old days, all radio was old-time radio.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'll have to think about that one a little bit. No, it was all live. It was, as I said earlier, a continuation of vaudeville. Mm-hmm. And those very same artists went on the radio with pretty much their same performances, even though the ones were on stage and the next one.
The mimes had trouble, though, didn't they?
Well, we occasionally have dead air here, too.
And the dancers were a little hard to visualize,
but they did.
Tap dancing and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they did dancing, of course, on the radio.
Can we bring that back?
I'm ready.
All right.
You got your clogs on, your taps on your toes. Yeah, we probably could. In fact, as we go on with it, I'll get to my point to the whole thing, and it's back to resurgence. But live,
keep you in line, straight line.
Yeah, I know you do.
All right.
So live radio was the only kind there was. There wasn't
pre-recordings.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't. There weren't even really records. You know, when radio first started, you could get an Edison cylinder, but you wouldn't really want to play that on the radio. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any way to project that cylinder directly to a signal. It had to go through a whole series of analog things, which is the neat thing about that time of radio. There was no digital. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was even kind of strange. You know, I was at Pomona College studying computer science. It was kind of a new thing. They had this brand new IBM 3640, this machine probably twice the size of this room with big tapes and
vacuum tubes.
Vacuum tubes. Well, they did actually have some vacuum tubes, and you took your punch cards to the plexiglass window, and the computer gods took them. And if they dropped on the floor,
oh, heaven forbid!
Exactly.
Yep. My college days, we registered with punch cards.
See.
Yep.
Yep. So, so actually, at that time, though, there were bits and bytes. Most of the digital world was not digital. It was analog.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Wang hadn't even invented a keyboard and view screen. I like to say that instead of, you know, because it sounds so Star Trek-y. And we're looking on the view screen.
Well, remember we had digital clocks, and they were actually analog clocks that just flipped the numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Vanna White going.
Yeah.
615, 616. Yeah.
So
anyway.
Yeah. So radio allowed for artists to do their work. And then we also had the situation with the radio announcer who could be an artist himself. In fact, actually, you know, it's as much as I detest the message of guys like Rush Limbaugh, he's actually really is an artist. He's producing his own theater and projecting it through radio as a medium to do that, which is
true.
Probably why we call it the media. I appreciate what he's doing, even though I don't appreciate his message. So after we left the vaudeville era of radio, we went into the propaganda era of radio.
Oh,
you
sure.
know, with,
mm-hmm.
with guys like, you know, FDR and his, you know, sit around the box and mm-hmm. listen to me speak. And another thing we should throw out, even though there were recordings, most people got their message over the radio as again, as live performances. You know, very few people ever bought a Woody Guthrie recording, but they bought
mm-hmm.
they listened to Woody Guthrie on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this went on for, well, basically until the end of the Second World War. And especially during the Second World War was the use of radio as propaganda. And again, that was theater. And what made it so intriguing is the insidiousness of the message that could be projected over radio that has never been replicated over TV. I think you mentioned that it gave you the opportunity to view these images as your own creation mm-hmm. in your mind
mm-hmm. right.
With maybe some gentle prodding by the radio announcer.
Right. Suggestions.
Suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, it's pretty exciting what happened. So we go back to
April 7th
of 1967. So between the Second World War and that fateful day, radio degenerated, in my opinion, into a solely commercial enterprise,
mm-hmm.
Especially, and this was why FM got a little mark. I don't know how FM stations ever survived because there really wasn't that much money in it. They had trouble selling advertising, and the commercial radio stations, they got lots of money from the advertisements. And again, it was one of those things of insidiousness that usually radio was listened to in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew that you had your audience trapped.
Right.
And if you had a radio product that folks were interested in, you could charge enormous amounts of money for advertising.
True today as well.
That's true today, but less so because of things like NPR or Big Cabbage Radio here mm-hmm. in Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
We have this situation where we don't have to charge money to produce a program. In fact, in NPR's cases Big Cabbage Radio, Radio Free Palmer, it would be probably illegal for us to charge for radio production.
True, true.
So that's one good reason why you need to donate to Radio
that's
Free.
That's right.
I'll put the plug in now because if you don't, you know, we won't be on the air on Thursdays.
So
anyways, where I was going with this is that radio is an art. gives us the opportunity to have people like Kyle come on and play music, or as we'll have later, David Cheesham reading some poetry, or even Marianne.
I'll just be
over.
Painting. And y'all can watch.
Yeah, that's right. She'll be right over at her easel, which is just over there, and you can listen to the sound of brush strokes on the
A lot of pondering of where I'm going to put the dots.
Ah, yeah. Oh, you're one of those type of painters. That's pointillism, huh?
Pointillism.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take forever.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll be here for weeks.
Yeah, you'll have to start drinking that absinthe like Van Gogh.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. So, so I think what's happening right now is not so different than it was in 1967. We're going through this period of resurgence of radio as art. We see it, with big names like Garrison Keillor and whatever, and theater productions. I think we'll see it here with little names like mine as we continue this show.
And big time, Greg.
Big time, yeah. And, so I think that brings us up to about the end of this segment, and we'll get another piece. Excuse me?
Phoebe Snow.
No, I'm not ready for Phoebe Snow. We're going to wait on Phoebe Snow until Mr. Cheesham arrives. Let's do Epistle to Daryl. Can we do that? And Epistle to Daryl is a song by Donovan Leach, who, Marianne writes, video killed. Why, they can't see that.
Well, it's my visual art.
I see. Video killed the radio star. I don't think so. I think video just put people into this void, this limbo of.
But that was the first song that MTV played.
Oh,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, and so I was just wondering. I don't know if Mike has that one.
I don't know, but I wouldn't get.
Yeah,
they have 25.
Video killed the radio star was the first song MTV played.
Terrible font of information. Yeah. I'm going to have her here every week.
That's where music went from strictly audio to audio visual.
I see. And here I thought it was the day the music died. So we're going to play Epistle to Daryl by Donovan. And this is a apt tune to lead into Kyle. It's a song about Daryl Adams, a famous banjoist and songwriter. And Donovan is looking at him as his mentor across the sea, and that'll bring up Kyle right after that.
Come all ye starry starfish living in the deep blue sea, crawl to me, I have a proposition to make thee. Would you walk the North Sea floor to Belgium from England? Bring me word of the bad man with the tattoo on his hand. The spokesman of the starfish spoke as spokesman should. If in ye met our fee, then certainly we would. Should you cast a looking glass upon the scallop sand, you'll have word of this banjo man with the tattoo on his hand. Come ye starry starfish, I know your ways are caped. Maybe it's because you're astrologically shaped. converse with the herring shows, as I know you can. Bring me word of the banjo man with the tattoo on his hand. The eldest of the starfish spoke after a sigh. Youthful as you are, young man, you have a wisdom high. Surely you must know a looking glass is made from sand. These young fish are fooling you about your banjo man. Oh, come then, aged starfish, redell me no more. For news I am weary, and my heart is sore. All on the silent seashore, help me if you can. Tell to me if you know of my banjo man. Now all through the seven oceans, I am a star most famed. Many leggies have I lost, many have I gained. Strange to say, quite recently, I've been to Flemish land. And if you were courteous, I'll tell you all I can. Oh, you have my full attention, I answered him with glee. His brother stars were twinkling in the sky above the sea. There I sat, there with rapt attention on the sand, very anxious for to hear of the banjo man. I have seen this tattooed hand through a ship porthole, steaming on the watery main through the waves so cold. Heard his tinkling banjo and his voice so grand. But you must come to Belgium to shake the tattooed hand. Oh, gladly would I come, gladly would I go, had I not my work to do and my face to show. But I rejoice to hear he's well, but I must go inland. Thank you for the words you brought of my banjo man. I walked along the evening sand as charcoal clouds did shift, revealing the moon shining on the pebble drift, contemplating every other word the starfish said. Whistly winds, they fill my dreams in my dreaming bed.
You are listening to KVRF FM, Radio Free Palmer. Our program schedule and playlists are available online at radiofreepalmer.org. Big Cabbage Radio.
Okay, now we have Kyle Johnson with us, who I don't really know. You're part of a band, right? Acoustic.
It's an acoustic solo like group.
Uh huh.
Sounds kind of funny, but we each have our own solo act, and it's called the Acoustic Project.
I see. Do you ever mingle?
With people here and there, but I haven't really met too many musicians around here in the Valley. I usually run into more musicians down in Lower 48.
I see. Yeah. And anywhere in particular? Or?
Well, I went to school down in Lower 48, and so I got to meet a lot of
what
musicians.
What does Lower 48 mean? Where?
Well, that's just what, I mean, that's what I was born and raised saying, but Down in Virginia Beach when I went to the School of Music.
Okay. Over there. Excellent. Yeah. And I think somebody said you've done some teaching here in the Valley, too?
That's right.
Are you still teaching?
Yeah, I do. I have one student, so I guess I'm still teaching. And then I teach at the Academy Charter School when they're in session.
I see. Excellent. What else can you tell us about you before I make you play your guitar?
Thanks for asking. I was just born and raised here. I sat in my room a lot and I played a lot of music, and this is what I love to do. This is the only thing I know how to do, and it's my passion.
Well, let's hope that we can get you a little more audience. Now, you folks are playing here in town during the Who Let the Girls Out, I believe, was it? And aren't you also here on the 28th with the you tell me.
I really don't. I don't know anything about the 28th gig. That's going to be at, I'm pretty sure it's at Turkey Red at 10 a.m. I don't know who's going to show up and get a gig at 10 a.m., but we'll see. And then we have Matt. We play at Matt Hatcher's. We're playing there on the 4th. We're playing Klondike's on the 17th and on the 24th. And the other two in the acoustic project are Emily Berry and I don't even know his last name. I just call him Brother Shane.
Brother Shane. Yeah, Shane. I saw that on the on Facebook, and you guys are on Facebook, so you can continue looking into what you do if you like what you hear and what I've heard on Facebook, and it's pretty darn good. So I'll let you take it away for a while, and anytime you want to stop and talk, be my guest. I'll be right here.
Awesome. Thank you, Greg. Thanks for making me feel so safe. Appreciate it. Okay. This is Daughters by John Mayer. Girl, she puts the color inside of my world, and she's just like a maze where all of the walls all continually change. And I've done all I can to stand on the steps with my heart in my hands. Now I'm starting to see that maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Mothers, be good to your daughters too. It's the same she's been standing at since the day she saw him walking away. Now she's left cleaning up the mess she made. Oh, so fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers that turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. To your daughters, but boys who you can't pray. You find out how much they can take. Boys won't be strong. Boys soldier on, but boys would be lost without the warmth from a woman's, without a woman's good, good heart. Ooh. looking out for every girl. You are the guide and the weight of a world. On behalf of every man, looking out for every girl. You are the guide and the weight of a world. So fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. But girls become lovers that turn into mothers. Some mothers be good to your daughters too. Some mothers be good to your daughters too. Some mothers be good to your daughters too.
Super. So obviously, E-Town and that show out of West Virginia. What's that called? I can't remember. They have nothing on us here on Radio Free Palmer. It's we've got equal talent, and I love jazz chords. So
that was a very great indirect compliment. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You never want direct compliments because you never know whether they're really a slap in the face. But indirect, that's a good way.
Yeah, you're avoiding flattery. I mean, that's very genuine of you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Little more for us?
Sure. You want to hear more?
Of course we want to hear more. Don't we want to hear more? Yes, we do. It's anything to keep from hearing David Cheesham's poetry. Oh, did I say that?
Delay the inevitable.
Oh, my.
Oh, I'm evil. Go ahead. Thanks.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed, put on my best suit, got in my car and raced like a jet, all the way to you. Knock on your door with heart in my hands to ask you a question, 'cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. You said I'll never get your blessings till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, 'cause the answer is no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry her anyway. Marry that girl. Marry her anyway. Marry that girl. No matter what you say, marry that girl. We'll make a family. Why you gotta be so rude? I hate to do this, you leave no choice. Can't live without her. Love me or hate me, we will be boys. Standing at that altar, oh, we will run away to another galaxy. You know she's in love with me. She will go everywhere I go. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. Said I'll never get your blessings till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, 'cause no all still means no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry her anyway. Marry that girl. Marry her anyway. Marry that girl. No matter what you say, marry that girl. We'll be a family. Why you gotta be so rude?
Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough for luck, my friend, 'cause I know all still means no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry you anyway. Marry that girl. Marry you anyway. Marry that girl. No matter what you say, marry that girl. We'll be a family. Why you gotta be so rude? Why you gotta be so rude?
Wonderful. You certainly are expressive, and you've certainly set the bar up pretty high for all the future people to come and play on my show. I'm very pleased with that. I have about 3 more minutes for you. You want to tell us a little bit more about yourself or play another quick tune, if you have any quick tunes?
I don't have any quick tunes, but I mean, I'm very passionate about what I do, as I already told you, and I just
I think we just saw that too. or heard it for our radio audience.
Yeah. Well, I'm raising money for my EP album, which I'm going to be recording in Nashville, Tennessee with my vocal coach. My vocal coach is he's settled down in Nashville, Tennessee. We do Skype lessons. His name's Dave Brooks. Works with the Singing Success program that's really popular online. It's the number one singing program that I've used for about 5 or 6 years now. But yeah, we're raising money for this EP album. I'm really happy about it. It's going to be $8,000, $10,000. And as soon as I get that going, that's just the first step towards my dream.
You know, if you go to Nashville, you might end up like Todd Snyder or somebody.
Oh, yeah? What happened with Todd Snyder?
He went to Nashville.
That's all he did?
And became famous.
Todd Snyder?
Started playing with John Prine. And next thing you know, it's he's an all right guy. Obviously, you don't know Todd Snyder's work very much.
No.
That's why we have YouTube. So,
oh, yeah.
We can.
Perfect.
And maybe next week I'll play some Todd Snyder.
Perfect. I'd like to hear it.
And you'll have to listen in. You'll probably be our first audience member.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I don't know. What do you think? I think we'll do that. If you would cue up the Phoebe Snow song, and we'll bring on David Cheesham. This song is a good lead-in for that. And thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you, Greg. Then thank you, my friend.
Are a genie. la 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 la. When I am with you, I have a giggling teenage crush, and I'm a sultry man, yeah, a sultry man. Whoa. The poetry man, you make things all right, yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Well, we have a special guest here tonight, David Cheesham, who's going to fill in with our literary segment at the program. And I'm just going to turn it right over to you, David. I think most people in town have an idea of who you are as an anchor of the community. And let's make sure that they get to learn about you as an anchor of our literary world.
Oh, well, thank you. Greg, thanks for the chance to be here. I think, you know, poetry is about how do we deal with that chatter that always happens in our mind. My inclination is to be suspicious of first thoughts, of the first thing that just kind of rolls off the top of your head, of that chatter, because I feel like that comes from very surfacey thoughts that are repeated and repeated, and memes and so forth. And I am inclined to think that everything needs to be questioned. So there are two ways to approach it. One is, you know, the sliding switch is over towards irony, and that's where you just repeat the chatter and you put it in a way that you make it distant and you ask questions about it. And the other is where you dive in and you try, and that's the earnest side, where you try to go below what's given to you, the given wisdom, given received wisdom, and all of that. And so I don't know where this goes, but this is a longish narrative poem. It's based on a Zen koan about this master, Gute Osho. Was asked about Zen, and he would just raise his finger, and that would be his answer. And once a visitor asked Gute's boy attendant, what does your master teach? And the boy just imitated the master, and he raised his finger. Gautier heard this, and he cut off the boy's finger with a knife. The boy was screaming with pain and began to run away, and Gautier called to him. And when the boy turned around, Gautier raised his finger, just that same old gesture that he always did, and the boy suddenly became enlightened. And so I'm just wondering, what does that mean? And one of the things that I think, and of course, when you're writing a narrative, you're writing fiction or narrative poetry, one of the things you're doing is you're not trying to find the answer. You're just trying to, here's an answer. I'm going to try to slip it on and see how it fits. And my feeling about what my conclusion that I'm playing with about enlightenment is that it's not about personality. It's not about, you know, if you like cheesecake before enlightenment, you like cheesecake after enlightenment. If you like fart jokes before enlightenment, you still tell fart jokes after enlightenment. So this is the story of the boy who had his finger cut off many years later, and he's talking to his son. Why should I tell you tonight of my loss, the false finger taken from this hand? Your questions tire me. You never ask about the aftermath, my wisdom, and the sudden stillness in my mind. My son, your questions flood the wrong plane. I know, like you, I had to learn of cut bone before I could feel my soul heal. Sorrow prepares us, and so you must be told. But you must turn toward the silence, not here. This most insignificant loss, my finger falling to the floor, slowly, it seemed to me, spiraling down like a long, sputtering fart, freed to fall in an unguarded instant, my senses not yet pained by the neat, sharp slice of Gautier's knife. The slow absence, finger flatulence. Flatulence, that's good. Oh dear, now I've lost my train of thought. Moonlight pours wistfully through the temple's musty corridors, shining on papers. He calls, moonlight subtly witnessing Gautier's sharp blade. Wary, I answer. On my bench at the shrine where I would seldom sit, if at all, I carried my load. More than my load, actually, this bench gave me an easy view of my good Lord as he'd stand with his red-robed disciples, teaching them, gesturing them. Now, look here, son, at this absence, at this idle space. See this? A finger almost shook the air, drawing circles. That's his gesture. That's how Gautier wrestled his students into enlightenment. It seemed so unearned, like pirated gold. I thought it funny to watch the novice's eyes follow his finger, squinting tight at first, straining, then wet in the new clean light after enlightenment. I used to mimic him, Gautier, alone in the rock garden, swirling my fingers, staring at the lines raked in the sand with care. I'd imagine that the gesture itself would shift those lines. That's how I met your grandmother. Hand me that hand, teacher said. Calmly gesturing, all the students listening, even Malico, holding so my fearfulness doesn't slay me. Mother me, someone. One night, your grandmother, Malico, appeared, young but lofty, asking lots of questions about Gautier's teachings. I raised my hand, exposed my finger, circling the moon with it. That's what he teaches, Malico, I said, reaching up mysteriously, the sky not laughing. Searching her eyes to steal a glimpse of their transformations, I asked, do you feel it? She felt nothing. No dry, then wet, no opening up, nothing, no sign of that desireless gaze. I laughed to cover my foolish theft. Then I asked your grandmother to leave me with my thoughts. It was punishment and reward, my lost finger falling to the floor. I saw the moonlight flicker in Gautier's blade. Imagine that the moonlight severed me from my finger. No longer a finger, just a dullness falling redfully to the floor. Mother me, someone, I shouted, ran away. So many kinds of silence met my ears. The cold, repulsed silence of the squeamish. The hot, jealous silence that the jars of sake inspired. The mean, ticklish spikes of muffled laughter. The sorrowful, the sorrowful. Only their gazes honored me, and my eyes still fill with those memories. When those memories fall by chance on this old man's heart, I am still there with them for that small, tense moment. Their hands folded, their eyes low, their thoughts empty of their own fingers, their own pains, their sympathetic moans. If I have an identity independent of my history or of the manners and habits of my thoughts, then Goethe's bellowing voice somehow caught this thing like a hook to a fish. I forgot about my finger. Only his voice was real. I forgot about me. And as I watched his fingers stir the air, my body slowly lost its anchor there and seemed diffuse enough to drift away, floating senseless in the senseless air. I came to and found I had to leave. Something had changed in my inner vision after having stumbled into wisdom. But many other things stayed the same. I was still a bumbling boy with flames inside my head, my heart. I still stumbled on steps and stuttered when I let my troubled adolescent body show my thoughts. The master only cut my finger off, you know, not the other body parts at Baldwin Point. I've never known the art of decorous conversation. Honor, if I know it at all, no longer demands outward displays. It sits like leaves scattered on a wooden banister, free to move, but never of its own accord. Without a change in appearance, without words that sparkle and sing, my enlightenment was locked inside me without entitlement, without respect, without surface grace. That's why I had to leave that sacred place. 10 years later, I met Malico again. I've said enough. Fact is, I've wondered, should I say this much, having led you through a tale whose moral dissipates when it's spoken. Even now, I don't trust that this pale gesture, these words, aren't in some way stolen from some master's bag of tricks. I'm still borrowing old forms from my unformed thoughts. Do you think Goethe will nick my tongue next? Well, of course, Goethe is dead. I am alive. Malico's alive. And we've come to earn our second wisdom in little ways. It is time. You still have two whole hands. Sleep in peace with your questions.
Well, thank you so much, David. That was a wonderful poem.
Well, thank you.
And I even really liked the way you recited it. It was very, very nice. And that's going to pretty much sum it up for us in Art from Palmer on a Thursday night. Thanks to Mike Molesky, our engineer, David Cheesham, our poet, and Kyle Johnson for wonderful music, and Marianne Cockle for invigorating my neurons. thanks again, and good night.